come just after Easter. I started at the chapter 1 of Luke and started in the Christmas story right after Easter. And we're progressing through the book of Luke, and we've been talking about some of the Advents. We had the Advent prophecy of Simeon last week, and today we're going to talk about the Advent prophecy of Anna, a female, a woman prophetess of such. So if you have your Bible or your device that you're reading off of, I want you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 2 and go to verse 41, and I'd like to read through this particular part of Luke's recollection of what happened in the life of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 41, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom which they had already made. They've done it every year. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they, the parents, were unaware of this. Thinking he was in the company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after these 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And everyone who heard him, meaning Jesus, was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And he said, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? I had to be about my father's business." And they didn't understand what he was saying to them at that moment. So then he went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things, just as she treasured what the angel Gabriel had said to her 12 years prior, maybe 13 years prior. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, 43 times in the book of Luke, Luke mentions women who have a prominent role in the gospel story as he's writing it. I remind you that Luke's a doctor. Anna is one of 12 widows that he mentions. The ministry to our widows is a vital part of the role of the church, the body of Christ. But it is also how God uses many of our women to comfort and bless us in many ways. The name Anna means grace. And so here we are thinking about a woman who had been widowed. And we know that she had been widowed for a while. Widows in those days were exploited by the community and society. They were often abused. Many times they are abandoned. They're treated with cruelty. And that's in spite of or despite the fact that the Old Testament taught the Jews to treat them well. Widows and the poor, the orphans. We're to minister to that kind of individual, not out of pity, but out of pride. We ought to do for them as we would do for ourselves. But oftentimes that didn't happen. Now, Anna, in many ways, is just like Simeon that we talked about last week. She was devout. She was godly in character. People saw that in her. They recognized her spirit. She stayed there in the temple for many, many years. Now, that doesn't mean she lived in the temple, but she was there every day. And probably over the time, over the many years that she was there, she probably grew in a role. She probably assisted the Levites, the priests, in some of the mundane tasks of the church, of the temple. And we don't know that. It's not written here, but she probably helped them with, whether it was with the fire or with the cleaning or with the dressing, the whatever. She was just there, but she was there because she wanted to be, not because she had to be. She worshiped the Lord. She loved God Almighty, and she was just like Simeon in this. He waited for the consolation of Israel, as the scripture says. The consolation of Israel was the waiting for the coming Messiah. And Simeon knew the moment he saw Jesus that this was the Messiah. And it says while this was taking place that she arrived on the scene also, and she knew through his testimony that this too was the Messiah. And so we learn about her being and becoming a prophetess in her own time. Now, what is a prophet or a prophetess? In short form, it is this. They have a special relationship with the Lord. They have a gift for declaring the Word of God, and they have the ability to interpret God's Word for application. That is prophet in its essence, the shortest form. Now, you say, but she's a woman. Well, you need to understand there were many women in the Bible that God used as leaders and prophets. I thought it was interesting that Tracy took up the offering today. You wouldn't have seen that 30 years ago. I didn't know she was there until I saw her come back up because I was paying attention down here to something else. But there were many women. Anna was just one of them. Deborah was the judge that led Israel into battle. Miriam was the sister of Moses, and she too was called a prophetess. And she was also a musician who led in music. A woman named Huldah was the wife of a man named Shalom. And many times priests came to her with questions. What would God say about this? What would God want us to do? Noadiah was maybe a bad prophetess, but she was mentioned as a prophetess. And she did not support Nehemiah's role of rebuilding the wall. The wife of Isaiah was called a prophetess. And Philip in the New Testament had four daughters. You can find it in Acts chapter 21. And that Philip was one of the original seven men chosen with Stephen and Prochorus and the others to become the deacons to serve the widows and the orphans and the less fortunate of the church. And he had four daughters, and they were called prophetesses. So it's not unusual that God has used women as well as he's used men. Anna's story boils down to this. You can write this down. This is it. She was the right person in the right place at the right time with the right message and the right response. Why? Because she loved God more than anything else that you'll see here in just a moment. Now, I want to read this scripture. We'll put it on the screen from Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God has a plan for every life in this room. He had a plan for Anna in spite of the fact that she was a widow. God declares, Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me. And God says, I will listen to you. But I have a plan for your life. Do you think that Anna planned on being a widow? Do you think that Anna immediately was accepted into the temple and the community? At the death of her husband? Do you think she felt the shame of being a widow and then not having remarried, not to have given birth to children? Here's a statement for you. Nobody, absolutely nobody, truly, completely, perfectly plans for most of the things and events that happen in our lives. If you've had an automobile accident, did you plan for that? If there was a fire in your home, did you plan for that? If someone died unexpectedly, did you plan for that? Most of the things that happen to us, we don't plan for. I went into a little restaurant near Columbiana Mall yesterday just to grab two sandwiches and get back in the car so we could get home last night. And I looked at the lines and said, that's the short line. And I got in that short line and they couldn't figure it out. This one went through about six or seven people. This one went through six or seven people. And I'm standing there like this. I need to change lines. You know, I didn't plan on being in there forever. So I get finally the sandwiches and I walk over there to wait for Betsy. She'd already gone out to the car. She hadn't come. You know, don't plan things like that. They happen to you. How do you respond? Well, I want to make this statement. Do your circumstances define you? When you get in that line and it stops, and they've got to have a price check, and then another price check, and then their credit card doesn't work, and then they got to do something. And you know, does that define who you are? Well, some people it does. And you see that happen. But I want to tell you that I want to explain that Anna's circumstances did not define her in a negative way, because she chose another way. She chose in her life to follow God's leading. Many people probably encouraged her to get married a second time, but it wasn't God's will. Many people say, by getting married, you can have children, but it wasn't God's will. Many said, maybe you ought to go home, but it wasn't God's will. Maybe somebody came along and said, you need to deny this faith, but she didn't. Maybe others encouraged her to give up, to place blame, to wallow in her grief, to be angry, to pout. When circumstances happen, Satan's going to come along in some form, some shape, some way, somehow, to cause us to want to do things that define us negatively. But we want to be defined positively through the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so when we face circumstances, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, we're surrounded by such a cloud of great cloud of witnesses. So let us throw off everything that hinders us, those doubts, those circumstances, those influences. And also to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. And then let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Meaning, accept the fact that the circumstances are going to happen. They're going to take place. Run the race anyway. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the scripture says, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning that shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God now. And it says, consider him who endured such a opposition from sinful men, so that you may grow not grow weary and lose heart. Isaiah 40, 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And when they come to the end of the run, they shall walk and not pass out. They not faint. It's a great scripture. Now here's what we learn from her life and this brief testimony found in Luke's gospel. Very simple. Number one, she didn't give in to the voices of this world. We are bombarded today by the voices of negativity from all sides. Fake news and falsehoods and lies and corruption and just lack of morals. We're bombarded by the voices of this world. It's okay if I feel good. No, it's okay if I live good, live right and righteous. So she didn't give in to the voices of the world. She didn't deny her faith. The Christian church is under attack. We're being bombarded by all sides. Yeah, me too, my mouth. She didn't deny her faith just because her circumstances didn't go the way she expected. She was waiting for the consolation of Israel. She remained strong and consistent in the darkness that surrounded her. I was reminded of Vivian Head, and I think Suzanne may have gone out to keep children. That was her mom. A woman that knew she had a cancer, but she was the most positive person I've ever seen through that battle. To the very end, believing that God would resurrect her, and he did. A woman of faith. That's the kind of person I hope people would think of me, or you, or someone else. Remaining strong. And remaining consistent. And finally, she denied herself the pleasures of this world. The scripture says she fasted. She fasted. She denied the privileges of this world, the pleasures of this world, for the privileges of our Lord. Psalmist put it this way in Psalm 138, 7 and 9. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, Lord, preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. And with your right hand you save me. And the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. So do not abandon the work of your hands. By doing all these things, she was able to be that right person at the right time with the right words and the right response, and able to do what God wanted her to do. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God expects us to be in line with his word, his will, and his way. And here's a quote for you. Understand that who we think we are, the possessions we think we have and own, the situations that change our lives, and they do, they're just props. Think about that. They're just props that lead us to greatness or not. It's a choice how we respond to our circumstances. Psalm 17. My steps have held your paths. Have they? Have they? Have our steps held his paths? My feet have not slipped because of that. I call on you, O Lord, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Who do we lean on when those circumstances come our way? Anna leaned on God every day of her life till she saw the consolation of Israel, the Messiah in the flesh, and she praised him. Now, Simeon said, you can take me now. I guess eventually God took them both and brought them home. Now, I want to give you three truths to remember. And I don't think I have these on the screen, but one is this. God cares for you and me. God cares for us. He cares dearly for us. And he wants us to be faithful so that he can use us in spite of our difficulties. Secondly, our circumstances don't make any difference to God. If we fail him, he still loves us. He still forgives us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ still died for us. We should always remember that. And thirdly, we need to rejoice no matter what happens. It's hard. We've been through some things. You've been through some things. We know how difficult it is. But it sometimes takes time to work through those difficulties. But we come out praising him from beginning to the end. Anna's life was tough. It was probably unfair. It was traumatic to lose her husband and her lover and her friend, and she was probably living a lonely life, not having all the fringe benefits of being married and having a family. It was costly to her, and her life was full of unknowns, and yet she was there. She was there when God showed up, and it was a great thing. Her response was none of these, however. She was there when the Lord spoke through Simeon. She was there when Jesus was brought to the temple. She was there to sing praises to the Lord for his good works. She was there, and she was on time. And she was there right in the middle of what God was doing. And because of that, we remember her. We know about Simeon and Anna. And that's all we know about them. They were faithful. They were righteous. They were good people, and they loved God, and they were there when God was there. Now let me finish by saying that the Bible says it better than I can say it. And I'm going to give you four challenges here this morning. Number one, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, be on guard. Now Paul talks about putting on the whole armor, being ready to protect yourself both in defense and offense. Be on guard. Be ready. It says, stand true to what you believe. Be courageous and be strong. I want to challenge us as a church to be strong, not to hear the words of the world. Oh, it's false or anything that they're saying. But just stand there in the truth that we believe and know and have experienced through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Secondly, in 1 John 2:28, it says, Now, dear children, continue to live in the fellowship with Christ. I want you to know that's where Satan attacks us the quickest. It's in the fellowship of believers. It's in the body of Christ that Satan wants to divide us and separate us. And he does it with some of the silliest things imaginable. Just go back to the list of priorities of physical things that we want to do to improve around here. We get all fuss and fume about who, what order they ought to be in. You know the old phrase, give me two Baptists, I'll give you three opinions. Well, you know, that stuff's not worth breaking fellowship over. We just got to move along. We got some guidance from our wisdom seekers and through the deacons and through our committees, and we move on with them. Stuff like that doesn't matter. The old Dewberry Baptist Church number one and Dewberry Baptist Church number two over in Hall County and Stevens County. They split, they say, over the discussion of predestination. Somebody dropped a hot dog, the dog ate it, and they fussed. It was a chicken leg, actually, and the dog ate it, and they fussed over, was that predestined or was it an accident? Come on! That is not a reason to split a church. Get some more chicken and go on. Number three, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly viewpoint. We got to be very careful not to take on a worldly viewpoint. And what I mean by that is to accept the politically correct, the niceties, that everybody can do whatever they want to do just as long as they feel good. The Old Testament is filled with that statement. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now that king is the spiritual leader in Israel. We have no king in America right now. We have no spiritual giant. Billy Graham's gone. He's not been on the scene for a number of years. We have no one that's standing up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And we need to pray for that person to rise up and stand so that it can lead us back into a spirit of revival. And then finally, Colossians 1, verses 11 and 12, we're to pray that we will be strengthened. Pray for the strength of God with His glorious power so that we will have the patience, so that we will have the endurance that we need. And then he says, to be filled with joy, thanking the Father because we are able to share in the inheritance together. I found this statement online. Let me read it for you. By our American standards, we might look at Anna's life and we might think, what a waste. 84 years, most of it spent in the temple, fasting and praying. You've got to be kidding, someone said. That's not the kind of life that I want to live. I'll grant that. We're not all called to devote our lives and our entire life to the ministry of fasting and praying. But obviously God had gifted her in that way. And she lived in accordance to God's word and God's gift. But apart from her unique gifts, the principle holds true. Anna lived fully devoted to God. And God looked at her with favor. And in the Bible, every fact is confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So along with Simeon, God chose Anna to bear that witness that the infant Jesus was and is the Messiah. She played her God-given role. She spent her life well. When you think your circumstances have beaten you down, when you think that God can't use you or doesn't want you, when you think that life is hopeless and you're trapped in the caves and like those kids are, and you think that there's no way out, God is there in your midst, in your heart, and in your life. But I want to say one more thing. You can't be devoted to God if you've not been redeemed by His Son. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I mean, do you not about Him? but do you know him in your heart? Is he one that you would be willing to fast and pray as long as God wanted you to, till you saw the consolation of Israel in your life? Let's pray. Lord, you gave us these two great examples, a man and a woman, not related, different lifestyles, different circumstances, and both of them had the character of Christ in their life. And both of them saw the consolation, the coming Messiah, long awaited for. And Lord, they gave you credit and praise for it all. You used them to glorify your name. And today we're reminded by them that we too are called. And we've been gifted and we've been blessed. So I thank you, Lord, for loving me, loving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We can't be devoted to you till we've been redeemed by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. So help us this day to recommit our lives to you. And if there's even one in this room who's never committed to Christ, may this be the day as we sing. They come down this aisle and say, I want Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for this day. Now speak to our hearts through the remaining moments. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Only trust him. 317 in the hymn book on the screen. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's sing. Let's respond. Circumstances might happen today. We hope nothing bad. We hope all is good. But we know that wherever we go, things happen. Sometimes we're not planning for them. Don't let them define you negatively. But as Anna did with her life, as Simeon did with his life, as so many others did with their lives, may what happens be nothing more than what God uses in us to bring him glory. That's a challenge for all of us, including, maybe first of all, to me. Let's pray. As we dismiss, Father, we know there are challenges out there. We know there are troubled times. But we want to be defined by the Holy Spirit of Christ living in us and through us, so that we might be the example you can use to bring glory to your name. So let's send us out these doors, readily prepared for whatever happens, to praise you in it, in spite of it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.